What's up, y'all? This is Rommel Watley, and welcome to Truckin' Hustle, the podcast for truckin' entrepreneurs. If you want to learn about the trucking industry from the business side of things, you're in the right place. Every week, I interview the people who are making it happen on a daily basis. I get them to share their successes, their failures, and sometimes even their secrets. The goal is to show you how you too can create financial freedom in the booming trucking industry. So sit back, relax, and enjoy the show.
It's going to sound crazy what I'm about to say, but on the truck washing side, there's really not any money to be made. Okay. If you're just a strict truck washing business, there's no money to be made in that today.
Okay. Does that mean that the money that you're spending on water does not you're like it's a wash. No pun intended.
Turn my mic up. Take there. On the road to the riches. Life takes a toll like bridges. Good friends become foes and snitches. Better watch who knows in your business.
All right, Hustle Fam, we are back with another amazing episode, and I am at what I feel like is my second home these days, man. Houston, Texas, at Houston Truck Wash and Lube with the president himself, Daryl Palmer. Hello, sir.
Yes, sir.
Man, Truck and Hustle, man, welcome to the show.
Appreciate it. Thank you very much for having me.
For sure. So in this show, we like to talk about the fact that the riches are in the niches. Right, there's so many different ways to make a career, make a living for yourself in this industry, and you know, whether you're on a truck, driving a truck, you know, brokering trucks, whatever, right? But we never talk about washing and maintaining the trucks, right? So when we connected, I thought it'd be a really, really interesting show to talk about the economics and the business behind that, right? Because that is obviously a very important part. You have to keep your trucks maintained. You got to keep your trucks clean.
Absolutely.
Keep looking pretty. And that's what you guys do here at Houston Truck Wash, man. So welcome to the show.
Thank you. I appreciate you for having me.
All right, for sure. So let's get into it. Before we get into the business, we always like to dive into the story a little bit and try to understand like how you got here, man. So are you from Houston? Let's talk about your backstory a little bit.
Yeah, I'm originally from here in Houston, Texas. My grandfather, who originally, I'm third generation.
Okay.
How old are you? I'm 33.
33. Okay.
Yes, cool. Sir. So my grandfather was born and raised in Alabama, and he was the oldest of 16. And he quit school at 9 years old to go to work because his dad, obviously, there wasn't enough food on the table, right, for all the little brothers and sisters. So he went to go work at a grocery store. And by the time he was 11, he was the manager of that grocery store.
Stop playing.
11 years old. True story. He was the manager of that grocery store.
Come on, man.
And, you know, every week at the end of the week, he'd bring, you know, it wasn't much back in the day. He'd bring whatever he had, and there still wasn't enough food on the table. He'd come home, and there wouldn't be dinner. All brothers and sisters, you know, ate all the food. So he did that until about 15. And when he was 15, he hopped a train, and he went all the way to California and picked fruit for 2 years. There was no cell phone, you know, phones, letters, nothing, you know, like that. So he came back to Alabama when he was 17, almost 18, and he joined the United States Army. And the very first day that he was in the Army was the very first time he had 3 meals in a day.
Oh, wow.
Very first time.
Wow.
So just thinking about that, you know, in today's terms is crazy. I mean, I still know a lot of people in the world, you know, are suffering like that. But
yeah, for sure.
Just, you know, thinking about that here, you know, you'd never, you know, a lot of people here have never experienced that.
Yeah.
So
No silver spoon, man. He had it rough.
Me included. So, so he was in the Army for 27 years. He retired as a sergeant major in the Army. And when he retired, you know, he needed that next thing in life, what to do. You know, how was he going to continue to feed his family? Because Army pay was, you know, retirement pay was only, I think it was like a couple hundred dollars a month at best.
I could imagine it.
So my dad, being the youngest of four boys, eating everything in the house, my grandfather decided to start a pressure washing, steam cleaning company.
Okay. What year is this, you remember?
I believe it was 1971, so you're looking at 50 years ago now.
Okay.
And my dad was about 12 years old when he started working with my grandfather and my older uncles out on the oil field, you know, grinding and getting it, pipe, just all the drilling rigs for Exxon onshore and offshore. They'd go out, they would use a helicopter and lift my grandfather's equipment up and take it all the way out to the pads out there in the Gulf and bring it back. And at a different time, you know, you didn't need fire, you know, protection, hard hats or nothing. Right. You just show up and
shorts and some sneakers on, man.
That's
do,
right.
Do your thing.
Absolutely. So over time it developed, and in the oil field, my grandfather and my dad and uncles were in every oil field within 300 miles of Houston. Just over time it developed, and my dad slowly took it over. My grandfather had gotten a little sick from past stuff in the Army.
Yeah.
And
this is the pressure washing business.
It's pressure washing, right. Okay. Only pressure washing. That's all, you know, they were doing. Finally my dad was, you know, moved over to fleets. My dad was doing big fleets. He had big accounts. And my dad's like, you know, well, you know, the city of Houston was really hammering down in the early 90s on, you know, dirty water and things like that going into the ground. They still are today. But so my dad needed to change up the model. So my parents put their very first house. I was just barely born, probably 6 months old. My parents put all their eggs in the basket, put their very first house up for collateral, and were able to buy and build this location that we're at now.
Okay.
So my parents were all in. You know, if we didn't make it or if they didn't make it, it wasn't going to be, right, you know, a good situation. So my dad hustled and worked 7 days a week. I think he finally took his first weekend off when I was like 13 or 14.
Mm. Got it.
So holidays, every holiday, birthday.
And what year was that they bought this building here?
This was 1988.
Do you know how much the startup capital was for that, to purchase this
place? You're looking probably about $100,000.
About $100,000. Mm-hmm. All right. Now, when they bought it, was it just the land or was it already
bare land? Actually, this place used to be like a junkyard. This place was full of like old cars and trucks and things like that. So we had to clear all the land and then go through all the permit process, which was even strict back then.
Right.
To build the original building that we have here.
So what was the original plan? What was the original business plan?
So the original plan was to just do truck washing.
Okay.
Because that's all he knew, right? But finally, he had enough truck drivers ask to do the oil changes. Because truck drivers originally back in the day had to go to all the dealerships, Freightliner, Kenworth, Peterbilt, and they'd be waiting for days because that's the only people that were doing it. There was no repair shops like there are today. So my dad said, well, how hard can it be? I change oil in my pickup truck. Sure, I can do it in a 18-wheeler, right, you know, a semi.
Right.
So my dad made enough phone calls and phone book, right? Looked up filter companies, oil companies, you know, places that he could buy grease for and get all the equipment at, and started rocking and rolling from there.
Okay. And at what point do you get involved in the business?
I've been around it my whole life. I think the first time I was ever introduced to here was probably in the summertime out of school, 5-6 years old. I would come up here and just kind of watch and mess around and see all the guys, you know, working and stuff like that. I was probably 5 years old.
How was it for you then, like growing up in this business? Like, what did you look at it as like, my dad's got a business, or did you look at it like, oh, I don't want to go there again today? Like, got to go to the truck wash again today, Dad? Like, what was your perspective as a kid? Obviously, like when you were five, it was different.
Sure.
When you started growing up, but just give me an idea, like the way you saw this business.
I saw it as, you know, my dad was working really hard because he wasn't around as much. You know, I knew my dad was always at work, So I know he was, you know, putting his time in and stuff like that. And I knew even as a little kid, like, you know, my dad is working to provide for what I have. I knew, you know, the toys I have at the house, the clothes I have. I knew, you know, because my dad went through that with my grandfather. My dad started when he was 12.
Yeah.
So I knew, you know, that upbringing. I just knew that, you know, We're a hardworking family,
right.
You know, you get what you put into it. And so my dad was here, you know, 18-hour days every single day. You know, the only time, you know, he'd be home, and I may see him before I go to bed, or I may not see him when I go to when I went to bed.
Yeah.
You know, but I knew, you know, he was doing things for me, for my younger brother, for my mother, for our family. You know, I knew it was for the benefit of us. So,
right. What type of lifestyle did it afford you as a kid?
I mean, I had a wonderful upbringing. I mean, I played every sport. My dad may have, you know, my dad missed a lot of baseball games, a lot of t-ball games, football games. But I knew, you know, even though he missed that time, I knew it was for a greater purpose,
right.
You know. Right. So looking back at it from today, I'm completely thankful. I mean, I can't appreciate him enough.
Wouldn't trade it for nothing, right?
I wouldn't trade it for nothing, you know, all the dues that he put in. So
got it. So at what point do you really get involved in the business? I mean, obviously when you were a kid, you were probably like messing around, you know, helping out here and there. But when do you start really getting into the business?
I started getting into it probably right there towards the end of high school.
Okay.
When I'm driving, right, you know, I can come up here in the summertime and work.
Yeah.
And
did you go to college?
I did go to college. Okay. I went to Stephen F. Austin in Nacogdoches.
What'd you study?
Business.
Okay.
Yes, sir. So I was there for about 2 years, and then I transferred back here to Houston. Went to U of H for a year, and I didn't finish college, but I was going to night school because I would start working here in college. And finally, I told my dad, I said, "Dad, you know, I can't do this whole night school all night, work all day kind of thing. You know, I need to, you know, this is what I want to do. I know my calling is right here."
Right.
And so he gave me that blessing of, okay, well, you know, you got to, you know, put your dues in even more now if you're not going to, you know, finish your degree. So I did that. I made that decision, and I put school off, and I came here full time.
Did you regret not finishing, like when in hindsight now looking back?
I do, but, you know, looking at it today, I think it's, unfortunately, it's more of who you know than what you know,
yeah.
You know, today and all aspects of business. But there's a part of me that still wants to go back to finish, but, you know, to do what we do here and the maintenance side of things and the trucking side of our industry, I don't think you need a degree. I think you need to put your dues in. You need to hustle.
Right.
And a degree may not always get you that opportunity. You know, the opportunity is going to be while you're working.
Yeah, 100%.
So
you're, I guess you said you did 2 years and then you did 2 years. So you're around 22 years old when you kind of take over.
I was 22 years old when I came here full time.
So you're full time. So what position are you? What's your role when you come here full time?
I guess you'd call it like a manager position.
All right. So you're looking at the business. What do you see? What's old, antiquated? What are you trying to change? Because you're bringing fresh new blood into an old business, man. So what are you thinking about?
Sure. So I'm thinking we were strictly washing and servicing and details. We do details on truck also. But I was looking to getting into the repair side of things, DOT inspections. So we have already implemented that with the inspections and the repairs that need to be done. We have a brand new shop right here that we just opened up about a year ago. That took 2 years with COVID and everything to finally get the permitting and stuff going. So we originally had two bays for washing and one bay for service. Now we essentially have this two bays for washing, one bay for mechanic work, and we have three for oil changes.
Okay, so you had to add those additional bays?
Mm-hmm, I did.
Okay, got it. So when you took over, it was just one bay?
It was just one bay for service.
Just for service. Yep. Got you. And that was on the complete piece of property, right? Just
right.
One bay. And yep. how big is this property?
It's a little over an acre.
Okay, a little over an acre. All right, and then you add, so you convince your dad, or is dad still in the picture? Like, what's going on
here? He comes here every now and then just to kind of check on things, but he's really not affiliated with you know, the day-to-day.
But at that time when you start building it up, or is he still in the picture then?
Like, no.
Okay, so
no.
He kind of just got out.
Yep.
And just like, here, you got it.
That's it.
All right, cool.
So
you have to start building some other additional bays. So what type of costs did you have to start putting into the business, or money did you have to put into the business to start building it up to what you wanted it to be?
So just the permitting side of everything just to build this one building, and it's about 2,500 square feet. It cost me roughly $36,000.
Okay.
Just the permit.
Just the permit alone. And what is that permit for? What does that say?
So that says that I am able to do servicing, and I can have water in that building. That building was for the structure, or the permit was for the structure of the building. And they're real adamant on flooding here in Houston, so I had to install 80 feet long by 2 feet around pipes. I had installed two of those into the ground. They originally wanted me to move this building that I'm in and build a retention pond.
Okay.
They wanted me
for the water.
For water, because of the water coming off of the roof. And I said, I can't do that. If I do that, then I lose this ground forever.
Yeah.
And they said, well, you can do this other thing, and you can put these pipes in the ground, and it connects to the water drainage coming off of the roof. And that alone cost me $40,000.
Wow. So it was expensive.
It was very expensive.
What about, do you have to have any special permits for having like the oils and all that stuff in the building? Like, what does that look like?
I do. That's about, it's not as much per year. It's a couple hundred dollars per year. But the initial, you know, I had to buy all brand new oil tanks. And when steel was going through the roof, I mean, my oil tanks were over $10,000 a piece. And I got two of them. So I can store oil, you know, double wall oil tanks.
Okay.
To make sure my oil, if something was to happen internally, there's a catch, you know, the outside catch. So if something was to happen over time, which hopefully it doesn't for a long, long time, right?
Of course.
So, yeah.
What about insurance?
Insurance went up. So obviously I had insurance just on one building. Now I have insurance on two. So essentially it doubled.
It doubled.
It doubled.
And around, what do you pay for that?
Insurance on both buildings, you're looking at about $10,000 a year.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
All right, got
That's
it.
Not garage. That's just to cover the buildings.
That's just to cover
That's the not garage. That's not having trucks here on the yard. You know, if something was to happen with the trucks.
So what is it for that? You have to cover the additional for the trucks too.
You're looking at an additional about $7,500 a year.
See, because the crazy thing is, like, people just look at this and they think it's kind of simple and, like, right, like, it's just trucks getting washed, right? But there's all these different moving parts that you have to kind of think about.
Right.
Right? So, all right. So, just to put it in perspective, so what are all the services that you guys offer right now? Aside from truck washing, tell us about everything you guys do.
Wash trucks, or equipment, service the semis. We detail and everything that goes with details of the truck. So, you know, polishing the rims, polishing the tanks, or painting the wheels, painting the frame, buffing the cab, clean the inside. We do DOT inspections, so everything within a DOT inspection. We can change shocks, brakes, airbags, wheel seals. Nothing to do with the motor. I'm not trying to do nothing heavy duty and time consuming, so nothing with the motor, but anything, no tires, no windshields, but anything else we pretty much can handle.
Got it. That's our train. We have a train that's right behind us directly. Right behind us directly. So we'll be hearing that throughout the podcast. All right. So what was the question I was going to ask? All right. So are all the businesses set up under one entity, or do you have them structured because you're... Let's wait for the train to go by.
He's done blaring his horn. You're just going to hear the train
the ding,
go
ding,
by.
Ding, yeah. Which is cool. I don't think that's too bad. So are all the businesses structured under one entity, or do you have it set up like for, like, let's say, like, the oil changes is one thing, and then like the wash is another thing, just for liability purposes? Or are they all like kind of...
Nope, we're all under the same umbrella.
Okay, mm-hmm. Got it. All right, so let's get into like some of the costs that you have. I mean, obviously, you just now talked about insurance. What are your other major costs running this business? I'm going to assume water might be one.
Water's a big one. So, water runs me about $4,000 to $5,000 a month.
Okay.
So when you're washing a tractor, just a tractor only at $55 a piece, you got to wash a lot of trucks to get that cost back.
Right.
On top of paying, you know, the employees.
Right. So for water, like, how do you guys get your water? Like, how does that work?
It's city water.
A regular city water.
Comes right through the...
Okay. Mm-hmm. So you don't have any other special equipment around the water. It just comes through and then you have it like through a machine. Like, how does that work?
Yeah. So we have oil water separators that are in the ground. So the water will go through the catch system. And you can't keep the water because the water's so dirty coming off of the trucks between oil, grit, whatever else the truck may have on it. You know, we can't do a catch and like reuse system. That would cost a lot of money, and you probably wouldn't even be able to keep 10%. So it's the cost far outweighs what we could do. But anyway, it goes through the oil water separator, and there's these mud catchers. About I would say 2,500 gallons of mud that comes off of these trucks every single month that I have to then have a company come in and pump that out and take it to the, have it, properly disposed of. And that costs me anywhere from $2,000 to $3,000 a month just to do that.
Oh, wow. So, okay, so in general, like, what are your costs on this facility just monthly? Because all these costs sound like a lot.
It's a lot. There's a lot. I can't give you an exact amount.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. So roughly, like, are you like over 100K like monthly or 50?
I'm probably pushing 50 a month.
Pushing 50 a month just to run the joint. Okay,
just to keep the lights on.
Just to keep the lights on.
Yep.
All right, cool. All right, so we get into the different services. So what is your most popular service here? What do most of your customers come here to do?
Oil changes.
Okay, oil changes. So they come, they get their oil done, and then we'll be second.
Second, be the truck washing.
Okay, so do you do like PMs?
Yes.
Preventive maintenance? Mm-hmm. Okay, so is it usually like PMs guys are coming and doing, or are they just like kind of...
Yeah,
right. Okay, got it. All right, how many staff do you have?
I have 12 guys.
Okay, and what do they do? How's that broken up?
So I have three guys on the maintenance side. Mm-hmm. I have four to six guys on the truck washing side. I have two supervisors, and I have two guys on details.
And how long have they been with you?
So of the 12 guys, four of them have been with us for over 20 years.
Oh, wow.
Another two are pushing 20 years. And two of the guys that are over 20 years, they're right at 25 or 26 years.
What's the secret to your retention, man?
Well, you get what you pay for. So you definitely have to pay, my top two guys have been with us forever, and I couldn't do anything without them. So I pay them pretty nice.
Yeah.
So they helped me 100%. We could not run this place without them. So
yeah,
it's, I would say pay is number one thing. And number two, I think of us as a family. So
got it. You got to definitely have that culture.
Yep.
Right.
Yes, sir.
That culture environment. All right, cool. So for somebody who wanted to get involved in this type of business, right, what are some of the things you'd want to think about? Is location important? Like, what are some of the important things about it? If you want to start a truck wash, like you're watching this video right now, and you're like, I want to wash trucks, I want to do service. What are some of the things you want to think about, and what are some of the challenges that a person would have before they go too far? You might want to think about this.
Location, most definitely. I mean, Houston's a big place, but where I am right here, they did a study however long ago now, but there are more 18-wheelers, more semis within 5-mile radius of where I'm at than the whole United States.
Get out of here.
The whole United States. The Port of Houston's only 4 miles as a crow flies from here, so
right.
All the 18-wheelers are right here where I'm at.
Okay.
So
that's your prime location.
This is prime area right here where we're at.
Okay.
Houston's growing, on the west side of town towards Katy and all that. That's becoming a prime location because there's still, land available, but it's going to cost you a pretty penny to be able just to purchase the land.
Yeah.
Then you got to go through the permitting process.
So, what do you think the land will cost now? You said you have how many acres?
It's a little over an acre.
So,
and I'm frontage road. I'm right off the freeway. Today, you're looking at least $1 million right off the freeway.
Just to start.
So, bare land.
So, who's your competition? Do you have who's in it? Do you have any?
I have some competition. Yeah, I mean, I would say as far as truck washing, my biggest competition, and I can't, I would say I can't really compete with them because they're nationwide. It's Blue Beacon.
Okay.
They're all over the country.
Got it.
They got over 100 locations. They can afford to lose at one location, but they make it up in the other,
got it.
90.
So how do you compete with them?
I try to offer as many discounts as I can when I can. So like right now, one of my biggest deals is if you do a brake change and shoe change with me, I'll give you a free truck wash. I'll give you a free, you know, greasing on the truck. Mm. When you do that with me, where Blue Beacon obviously does, they don't do mechanic work. They're strictly truck washing. Right. I try to incorporate that into some of my, you know, specials of, you know, whatever month it might be at the time.
Got it. So you try to offer some different deals.
Yep.
To get people. What are some of the things that you would say that your competition does better than you?
Does better it's than
a trick
me?
Question.
I know that is a trick question. Honestly, that's hard to answer what they do better than me.
All right, guys, Truck and Hustle has now partnered with Transpo CFO, powered by Venning. Transpo CFO offers a streamlined monthly subscription for businesses to consolidate their accounting, payroll, and tax needs into one flat monthly rate, saving businesses a tremendous amount of time and money while making their financial operations much smoother for the long road ahead. Check out Transpo CFO in the description below and tell them Truck and Hustle sent you. Now let's get back to the show.
I really couldn't answer that.
You couldn't answer that?
I don't know.
Okay. He's smart. He didn't fall into the trap. He said they don't do anything better than me.
Yeah, that's
so,
right.
So they don't do anything better than you. So let's put it this way. How do you guys stand out? Why does somebody come to you as opposed to going to them?
So where I differentiate is, you know, when I give you a price on washing per se, however long it takes me to wash that truck, after I give you that price, you know, as long as it takes. Whereas a bigger corporation like my competition, you know, they're on a time limit. They're on a time crunch. You know, if they say it's X amount, they may only give you 15 or 20 minutes to wash your truck. And after that, it's, hey, that was the price. If you want, you know, more time, it's going to be more money. Where me, I'm not about quantity. I'm about quality. So if it takes me 45 minutes to wash your truck, and, you know, not everybody's perfect. You know, we may miss a spot here and there, but if you point it out, I'm going to make sure it's fixed before you get back on the road.
Right.
So if it takes us an hour to wash a truck after I've, you know, if I get, say, hey, it's $60 because of this and it takes us an hour, that's what it is.
Got it. What's the industry standard on pricing as far as truck washes now?
A tractor, you're looking about $55. Truck and trailer, depending on the trailer, is somewhere around $100.
Okay, $55 to $100. So typically, most of your guys will come in with the combination, both tractor and trailer?
Usually.
Right? And how often do you see that customer? What's like the customer lifetime value for your customers?
Probably 2 to 3 times a month.
2 to 3 times a month? Okay. Mm-hmm. All right.
Depending on the weather. You never know what kind of weather you get in Houston.
Got it. And how, like, do you have any tracking of, like, how long you retain the same customer?
Not per se, but I can tell you that I have customers here that I have known personally since I was a kid.
Really?
They've been here that long. Okay. And they've been driving that long. So.
Yeah. So that would be a good indicator of what you guys do better. So what do they say? Like, why do they keep coming back?
Because, you know, when my dad was back, you know, here hustling back in the day, and they knew what type of person he was and the grind that he had, and that's what they, you know, loved about him and this place. So they continue to come back because they know they're going to get 110% every single time.
Got it. How do you separate the different businesses? Because you do several different things here, right? In terms of like your P&Ls and like making sure you're profitable. Like, what does that look like for you? Like, when you're looking at the money, right? Like, you're doing washes, you're doing oil change. How do you understand pricing? How do you understand like the margins you need to make for everything? Like, can you explain that a little bit?
Sure. So it's going to sound crazy what I'm about to say, but on the truck washing side, there's really not any money to be made. Okay. If you're just a strict truck washing business, there's no money to be made in that today.
Okay. Does that mean that the money that you're spending on water does not you're like it's a wash. No pun intended.
Right.
Like the money that you have to spend on water and to run the business and for staff, you don't really make much money on that for what you charge for the service.
Right. It's more of an added service on the oil change side. Oil changes is where, for me, oil changes and details is where the money is to be made.
Okay.
Well, the washing is just an added service today. You know, a long time ago, my dad was the only guy in town or one of the few guys in town. So the money was, you know, good. It was profitable.
There's more volume?
More volume. So today there's really not too much money to be made in washing between just everything that goes into that. It's more of just an added service today.
Okay, got you. So no real money made on the washing the truck,
unfortunately.
So it's the oil change that where you're really able to make some money,
right?
So for that, when you're looking at that, where do you kind of get your stuff that you oil? Do you use a specific type of oil? Like, can you tell me about that business a little bit?
Sure. I use all the major brands that, you know, there are out there. I use Mystic, which is a product of Citgo Lubricants. I use Delo, which is from Chevron, Mobil, Delvac, and then I use Shell Rotella, the top four major brands.
Okay. And you get that delivered by the what? Like, how does that oil come to you?
I get that straight from, you know, their top distributors.
Okay. But you get it by, like, the gallon or, like?
I get it in gallon, and I get it in bulk also.
Okay. Okay. Got it. How much oil do you have to order monthly to, like, keep up?
Monthly, well, I'll put it to you this way. On a weekly basis, I'm going through about 1,500 to 2,000 gallons a week.
Okay. Mm-hmm. It's a lot of oil.
Yeah, these trucks take anywhere from 10 to 13 gallons, so.
Right.
You know.
Right. Okay, so it's like, how far ahead are you ordering when you're, like, doing your purchase orders? Like how far ahead are you looking to make sure you always, like, do you ever run out of oil?
Like, no. Okay. I make sure I'm at least probably 3 to 4 weeks ahead.
Okay.
Just in case there is some kind of supply chain issue. You know, if maybe a week goes by where I wasn't to get anything, I can, you know, I still have enough for 2 or 3 weeks, and then I can, you know, they can catch up on their end.
Okay. How important has credit been for your business? Do you use credit at all? Are you more cash? For cash business, like, you spend cash, and, like, what's your methodology around, like, your financing?
Sure. So I use just a little bit of credit, but not too much. I try to pay it off at the end of every month.
Okay.
Just so I can play catch up from my customers that may be on a 15 to 30 day pay scale for me. I do have some bigger accounts that I let them get to 30 days just because they have so many trucks. So I use a little bit of credit just to catch up from, you know, getting paid back from them.
Yeah.
But I don't use much.
Got it. Do you do fleets? Like, you have, like, fleets that come here and get service as
yes,
well?
Yes, I do. I have a lot of fleet accounts. And we also do, I didn't mention it before, I do have a mobile service where I will go and we will hand wash, you know, pressure wash fleets. We try to stick to at least 40 or more. You know, it has to make sense. Money has to make sense.
Yeah.
So if you have a bigger fleet, we can go out on site and we can wash there.
Do you offer a discount for your fleets, like, on service at all?
I will, just a little bit, since I am using their water.
Right.
Because I can't truck all the water in. That's, you know, it's just not possible. I will offer a little bit of discount for using their water, but it's more of a convenience factor.
Okay.
Versus a discount. You know, the trucks don't have to move. I can make it happen wherever the trucks are parked. I have enough, you know, line hose to be able to reach, you know, up to 1,000 feet. So if the trucks are parked, I can take care of it from there.
Okay, got it. All right, so we talked about the economics a little bit. We talked about the wash isn't really any money in there. The oil change, you said, what do you said your margins are on oil change? Was roughly like a range.
As far as, like, what I make?
Yeah,
what you make? You're looking at about 20%.
Okay, all right, that's fair. And then what are the other services, the oil change, and then what else?
Oil changes, I mean, we do repairs as far as brake changes, shocks. As far as the rest of the stuff with PMs, you know, coolant flushes, transmission flushes, you know, rear ends, stuff like that.
Okay.
Changes.
Give some advice to some of the carriers and owner operators out here when they're thinking about that type of stuff, like, you know, brake changes. How can they save? What's the best way that they save money, right, for maintenance on their vehicles?
So if you're looking at a brake change specifically, you know, I tell all my customers, the only thing I use as far as parts like that is USA-made products. I've had too many customers come in after they just had their brakes changed less than a month, and they maybe used a Chinese brand or a brand from a different country, and it only lasted them a month.
Mm.
So I said, you know, I only use the good stuff, so my prices may be a little bit higher than my competition,
yeah,
but I use the best. I will only use the best. I do not want to use, you know, I don't want to go halfway and cut corners by using a cheaper product and then you come back to me a month later and say, hey, Daryl, you know, what the heck? My brakes aren't working. They're not 100%. It's only been a month.
Right.
So I don't cut corners. We don't cut corners. And I don't, you know, we don't go halfway. You know, I use the best of the best. It's not the cheapest stuff, but it's going to last you, and you're going to get, you know, the best bang for your buck.
So you see that happening a lot out there.
A lot. You know, they go to either a truck parts store or wherever, you know, down the road, and they, you know, it's $400 cheaper by using a different, you know, off brand.
Yeah.
Or off, you know, whatever, and they're not getting, you know, the best bang for their buck.
So is that a question that they should ask? Like, if let's say they're not with you, hopefully they shop with you, but if they're not, hey man, where's this brakes made? Like, what's going on?
Absolutely. They and should absolutely
ask. They should that. Definitely ask that. What else? What's some other things that where they can save? Anything with oil? Well, go ahead. You go.
Oil too. You know, so I do offer a bulk oil versus a gallon jug oil. It's cheaper. But the only thing that makes it cheaper is it's not in the gallon jug.
Okay.
So the big thing, you know, that I hear is bulk oil, you know, I have 2,000 gallon tank oil, you know, that's out there. And, you know, drivers automatically think it's used oil or recycled oil.
Right.
And, you know, I'm sure there are people out there that cut corners by using recycled oil, but that's just not the way we operate. We haven't been here for 36 years by cutting corners or doing it the wrong way. We do things 100% the right way. And, you know, it's just a cheaper way, a cheaper cost versus going through the gallon jug. It's the exact.
So it just appears as if it would be like used oil because just the packaging that it's in is what you're saying?
Sure. Right.
Okay.
So, you know, I try to offer, you know, there's a significant, difference in the pricing because, you know, the manufacturer has to put it in a gallon jug or a 5 gallon bucket, then put it on a pallet and then ship it with a totally different shipper where I get it in a bulk truck and they just pump it into my, you know, tank.
Got it. So and you're able to pass that savings along to your customers.
Yes, absolutely.
Okay, cool. What else? What are some other things that they should be thinking about in terms of maintenance?
Filters may be one thing. With COVID happening, we had a little bit of a hiccup in the oil supply, but the biggest thing that I'm still dealing with today is the filter supply. At least once a month, we will go to San Antonio or Dallas, and I will find whatever filters I need the most to be able to run the company, and I will go out there and get them and bring them back here myself.
Mm.
There's certain filters that the manufacturers are just having trouble with making, as far as like either the paper inside of it or the metal for the oil filters, and they're just having trouble, I guess, catching up with doing what they need to do. So I'll find where I can get the filters that I need. If I can't get them here in Houston, and I'll go and pick them up myself in a different city.
Okay, what are some of the, you see a lot of different owner operators, a lot of different, you know, trucking companies come through here. What are some of the things that you notice that guys aren't doing like timely enough or that they need to make sure they need to stay on top of?
Oil changes would be one. I know with everything going up with inflation, you know, oil has gone up, grease has gone up, filters have gone up too. So they're running that line of when they should be doing their oil changes.
Right.
And I get it, you know, everything counts, but you know, at the end of the day, if you take care of that truck, it will take care of you. So I realize it's a big cost, but at $300 or $400 on an oil change, to know you're getting it done and, you know, your, you know, air filters, you know, they're letting their air filters go way past what they need to at, you know, $60 to $120, depending on what kind of truck you have on an air filter, let your motor breathe. You know, it's a cheap cost. You know, at $60 or $80 on an air filter to let your motor breathe and run versus having that air filter collapse and then you have a motor blow up and then you're paying $20,000 to $40,000 for a brand new motor.
That's right. What's your prescribed schedule for oil changes, filters, so forth and so on? What do you recommend?
Oil changes, I recommend 10,000 miles on, you know, a regular oil if it's not running a full synthetic. We do offer a full synthetic here, but it's very rarely because it's so expensive. but I recommend 10,000 miles.
What's the difference between the two?
Regular and a full synthetic.
For as people who may not understand that.
Like, as far as intervals?
Yeah.
Probably 25 to 30,000 miles.
Okay.
But you're looking at double the price.
Okay.
Depending on what kind of truck you have too, and the filters and stuff.
Okay.
Air filters, depending on where and what kind of type of transportation you're in. If you're on rock yards, dirt yards all day, you might look into doing it every month to 2 months. Just depending. If you're on the open road, you can probably get away with, you know, every 3 to 4 oil changes.
Okay, got it. Who do you service more? Do you service more like oil guys? I know this is Houston, so this is big oil.
Man, I get a lot of everything. I get a lot of cement guys, pipe haulers. We get a lot of oil guys too. So okay. It varies, but we get a lot of everything.
Just a little bit of everything. Got you. What's some of the challenges about running this business, that if you had to think of some that keeps you up at night? What are some of the tough parts about this business?
The tough thing is battling the my suppliers on pricing, because everything goes up, and so what I'm having to do is I'm having to buy, to get the best price that I can possibly get, I have to buy a tanker of oil. And a tanker of oil is 6,500 gallons at a time. Mm. So when you're looking at $10 to $12 a gallon, that's over $70,000, I'm having to write a check for at one time.
Right.
And that's, every 6 to 8 weeks.
Got it.
Just to be able to get the best pricing point I can for my customers. Same thing with packaged oil. I'm having to buy it, truckload at a time to get the best price I can get, and to be able to compete with my competitors also.
That always was the case, though. Like, you didn't always buy it like that.
I used to never buy it like that. I used to buy it when I needed it.
When did you start having to do that?
When the prices started really going up, probably towards the end of 19.
19?
Yeah.
What was the cause of that made the prices go up like that?
The causes was supply chain issues. It was like right there at the start of COVID, beginning of COVID.
Okay.
Everyone was worried, for obviously good reason now. We just, not knowing how the country was going to be, I started having to buy, months at a time ahead. So, I have filters that will last me several months ahead. And I continue to buy even weekly and monthly to make sure I'm always ahead of the game as far as pricing and, supply chain issues, if there is any in the future.
Got it. Do you ever have a down period in this business, or are you kind of like is seasonal at all? Or
it's strange. Usually Thanksgiving to Christmas time is usually a slow time, but this year was actually really busy.
Yeah, because nobody cared about Christmas this year. The holidays were very weird this year, like Thanksgiving, Christmas, New Year's. I think everybody's like just like business as usual.
It was so it was kind of weird, but it was a blessing for sure, knowing that the whole Christmas week we were slammed with
still
business.
Still jumping. But typically that's when you guys kind of slow down.
Right. And tax season around April usually kind of slow down.
Okay.
I think mostly because drivers are, they get their 1099s or what have you, and they realize they need to start, maybe cutting back a little bit on something, and they save up so they can, pay their taxes for the year.
Right. So when you see those kind of drops, what do you do to kind of adjust and, still pay the bills, make things work?
I try to offer, specials on, washing or servicing, and try to incorporate just anything I can do to help, and just to keep, business, afloat during that time.
Yeah, got it. So you're as what percent is like your employee cost of your business, like for staff?
For staff, I would say about 15 to 20%.
Okay, got it. So that's definitely a pretty major cost.
Yeah, the big cost is oil today. Oh, right. Oil being so expensive, that's a big chunk of it.
That's probably about like 40% or.
Yeah, close to
about 40%. Mm-hmm. Okay, got you. Then what will be the other one? So that's 40 is oil, 20 is staff.
Yeah, water. You're looking at probably another 15%, maybe 15 to 20%. Filters are in there.
Okay.
And then just between electricity, water, and cleaning these grit traps out every month. that's probably the rest.
Because somebody else does that, right?
Yes.
Okay. Mm-hmm. How do you grow and scale from here? or do you want to grow and scale from here? What's like the outlook on, do you like the location as it is, or what are your future plans for the business?
I would absolutely love to grow and scale. Right now it's a little tougher being with the market what it is with oil and filters and not knowing what this year has in store for trucking. You read and hear about things on different avenues of truckers and what they're going through. I talk to truckers every day when they're here, and it seems like the work is there, but obviously they're not getting paid what they should get paid. And so it's tough to gauge. So yes, to answer your question, I would love to grow, but right now it's kind of iffy because everything is so high with inflation, property is, and everything else. So it's kind of, as far as that, I wouldn't say it's a standstill. It's just kind of a waiting game.
Yeah, yeah. So what does that look like for you? Does that look like another location? Does it look like, you know, is there opportunity on this property to do more? Like, what does growing look like for you?
Sure, I can definitely do more here on this location. Another location is definitely in the works. Just have to find that location. I don't want to settle for just any location I find. Obviously, it's got to make sense. So.
Right. What's some interesting areas for you?
Katy, out that way towards Brookshire is a possibility. Maybe just stay over here on the east side would be a good possibility too. Then wouldn't be so far of a drive for me to check on one or the other.
Got you. In terms of management, are you the only manager? Does anybody else in the family still work in the business?
Because
you said you had brothers, right?
I have a younger brother.
Okay.
But he went a different route, and he's real way smarter than me. He's a chemical engineer.
Okay, so he graduated college.
He did. He went to Texas A&M, and he did his thing over there. So
okay, cool. So, I'm sure you guys are both doing okay for yourselves.
Yes, sir.
What I'm saying? For sure. All right. Do you have kids?
I do. I have a 2-year-old daughter. She'll be 2 actually here in another month.
Okay.
And then I have a son on the way.
Okay.
He'll be here in April.
Got it. So I'm sure there's plans to let them continue in the business at some point, right?
We'll see if they want to.
We'll see what happens.
We'll see.
Okay, cool. All right, man. Love the rundown. Is there anything else that you think we missed about the business that you want to touch on and let people kind of know about what you guys have going on here? I want to make sure that we cover kind of everything. I know we talked about all the different services, for sure. I think we covered a lot. What do you think?
I think so. Yeah. I don't know if I harped too much on it, but truck detailing.
Okay, you do detailing also.
Mm-hmm.
All right.
So, there's a lot of the dealerships around here, they have me clean up their used trucks before they get ready to sell them.
Okay.
So, I know
there's a big truck dealer right here.
Yep, right next door.
Do you do work with them?
Pride and their Aero Truck Sales right next door to me too. We've been doing Aero Truck Sales for almost 30 years.
Okay.
We wash, detail and service all their trucks, every single truck that they have, for the last 30 years before they get ready to sell them.
Got it. I'm sure that's nice to have them right there.
It is. It's very nice to have them next door.
You can't beat that at all.
Yes, sir. But all the other dealerships we deal with too, we clean up their used trucks before they get ready to resell them.
Okay.
So, if you have a truck that needs to be cleaned inside, outside, can't promise that it'll be, brand spanking new if you have a 20 something year old truck, but we can get it as close as possible. So
got it. Are you able to share revenue, like an idea what you guys make here?
Sure, yeah, we do a little over $2 million a year.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Nice, sounds good.
So
all right, very good, man. Well,
but the grind is there.
You work hard for that $2 million, man.
That's right. The profit margin has slimmed down a little bit the last 2 years with COVID and pricing going up. We've gotten busier, but with more work comes more bills, comes higher bills, and everything like that. So the profit margin has definitely decreased a little bit. So you just gotta, we gotta power through that.
Guys,
so.
Do you remember what you guys were doing when you first started?
I could not tell you. So it was totally different time when my dad was running things. My dad had more than this location at the time.
Got it.
So it was a little bit different.
There's more
competition now, so.
Okay, cool. Amazing, man. Well, the business is amazing. I mean, we're going to take a tour of the place and just kind of,
you know, show what's going on around here. Yep. In customary Truck and Hustle fashion, we always have to give a final thought before we let our guests go, which is basically just some entrepreneurial advice. It could be spiritual, it could be, you know, whatever, you know, whatever you want to, wherever you want to come from. And then let everybody know where they could connect with you and learn more about Houston Truck Wash and connect with you guys. Maybe get some offers, some sales. Maybe you'll give them an offer in this video to come check you out.
Absolutely.
So let's do that. Let's start with where they can connect with you.
Okay. I am on Instagram at Houston Truck Wash. We're on Facebook too, but not as much as Instagram. Instagram's kind of the bread and butter. Facebook, Houston Truck Wash and Lube. Instagram at Houston Truck Wash. And that's where you can connect with me.
Okay, got you. And then the final thought, think hard about it. You gotta leave the Hustle fam with a jewel.
Okay. Let's see. If you know, if you wanna make it in this, if you wanna make it in this trucking and industry, it's all about what you give. You know, if you give 110%, you will get 110% out of it. You know, you gotta save for the rainy days, because there will be rainy days, especially here in Houston. So all I can say is work hard, grind hard.
That's right. That's what the fam's been doing, man, for 30, 40, 50 years now, man.
And that's right.
Obviously, this is a manifestation of that hard work, man. Daryl, it was a pleasure being here, man. Thank you for having us on site.
Thank you for being here.
And we appreciate it, man. Thank you. Thank you. Hustle fam, you know what we do around this time. If you smell something burning, it's only a desire. Myself, Mr. Daryl, and Houston Truck Wash and Lube, we are out. What?
I forgot about offer.
Oh, offer. Oh, no, let's do it. Let's get an offer.
All right.
Let's get an offer.
Go ahead.
Yeah, so Daryl, man, hopefully you know, for all the Hustle fam watching in Houston and surrounding areas, maybe you could hook them up with a little something for checking out the show. What we got?
Absolutely. So if you come here to Houston Truck Wash and you mention Truck and Hustle, I will give $5 off a truck wash. I will give $10 off an oil change. And if you do a brake change with me, I will give $50 off.
Look at that. Always showing love. Make sure you mention Truck and Hustle when you come check them out at Houston Truck Wash, man. This company has been around forever. Obviously doing great things because the retention shows it, right? Because you guys have a great business. So check them out, Hustle fam. Again, if you smell something burning, it's only a desire. Myself, Daryl, we are out.
If you twisted, confused, or stuck about trucks, don't be dumb. This is the place to come. Truck and Hustle. Let's go!